Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Hello, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday and this is going out live on Mintwave Radio. You can ask Alexa or go to the website karenrobertscoaching.com/mintwave-radio. If it's via podcast, you know, you can download the app for Apple and Android. That's Podbean. You please subscribe to any of the podcast channels that we have. So check out the network too. Today's episode is 143. And today we have Denise Schroeder, who is a realtor, coach, and an author. And we're going to be talking about going from broken to barrier breaker. I'm your host, Karen Roberts, and we are really providing a platform for coaches to get their message heard to the people who need it. So Denise is a top-ranked realtor in Oklahoma. She's a CEO of Schroeder Real Estate Group with her husband, Troy. She is a coach, a speaker, marketing strategist, realtor, and author of the new book. Her new book is called Out of the Box. So Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am so glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here too. So if you'd like to share with the audience a little bit about your story.
About 20 years ago, I was told that I could never make it in real estate. I had wanted to get my real estate license and I worked in property management. And I had a manager come to me and said, look, I think this would be the natural progression for you. Would it be to get your real estate license? We don't want to lose you, but we can see you really thriving in that. And so I went back to my family, my friends, my sphere, my spouse, and I was met with, you could never make it. You don't have what it takes. The market's too saturated. It would just be nothing but basically an expensive hobby. And why would you want to line your garage wall with superficial pictures of signs with your face on them with no yard to stake? And so it was pretty humbling and really crushed me. My dream definitely didn't die, but I had to suppress the seed of something that I really felt like I was called to do. So I really began to feel like in the relationship that I was in, that I truly had a narrative going on in my head that was on replay. And it was, you don't have value. You're not worthy. No one's going to love you. You don't have what it takes. In essence, you're just not enough. And I found myself realizing that the relationship I had been in for almost 10 years with two younger kids was very toxic. And I had completely lost my identity. I'd become a shell of the person that I once was. And I really wanted to rescue myself because I had lost my mom unexpectedly at the same time that I was hatching a plan to make a break and a separation from my husband. My mom had been misdiagnosed with a hernia when she was 49 and I just turned 50. So right at my age, and she went in for an exploratory surgery when things weren't getting better. And actually she had stage 3 colon cancer and the doctor was optimistic and said it was all encapsulated and she didn't even have to do preventative chemo. But the kicker to that situation was the doctor was in a hurry to get to a college football game and left perforations all throughout her colon. And so she was gone a few months later. So it seemed extremely senseless and avoidable. And it was just one of my truly greatest tragedies in my life. And so I was trying to deal with that along with getting out of my marriage. And I didn't have a self-esteem. I had no resources. I had no money. I had a lot of pride and a lot of humiliation and a lot of guilt and shame, feeling it's my fault. But I saw an advertisement on an Oklahoma City commercial, and it was about from a reproductive center about donating your eggs. And though this seemed really diabolical, I did it. I got screened, got approved to be able to donate my eggs. And it was, I would receive $1,500, which at the time, this is over 20 years ago, that was enough to get me a retainer fee, get me a nest egg so that I could move forward in getting out of this relationship I was in that was so toxic. And I had to give myself injections 3 times a day for, oh gosh, it was probably 8 weeks or more. And I was swollen. I was bruised. I was a hormonal nightmare because I was trying to hide what was going on. Couldn't tell anyone. It was just, it was a really kind of crazy thing that I did, but I felt like it was one of the things I was doing to rescue myself. So I got out of that marriage. It wasn't easy. It cost me over $55,000 to get sole custody of my kids. And as I'm going through that, I'm trying to figure out what am I grieving? So I'm trying to get through the situation with my ex-husband and really feeling so much just depression where I could barely get out of bed. I felt like I had an elephant on my back. I could barely put my feet on the floor. And I decided I need help. And so I really didn't want to let the unhealed parts of me break other people around me, my kids being first and foremost. And so I remember the first appointment I had with my therapist. I went in and I said, I'm too broken to be fixed, but I'm here. I show up in my life for everyone, but today I'm showing up for me. And I did therapy for 2 times a week for 2 years. And it changed my life. She said, we're going to rebuild you. You're going to rediscover who you are. And I told her, I said, I want to be Ford tough. I don't want to just be rebuilt. I don't want to ever be in this position where every thought or idea or decision is based on just creating peace in my environment. I just got completely lost in that. So that is what I did. And fast forward to a little bit happier time, I truly was healed and in a lot different place. And in walks my FedEx guy. He was the sexiest man. He had the biggest smile, the biggest blue eyes. And I saw him every day for 5 years before our first date. And once we had our first date, we quickly got married, which people thought we were absolutely crazy because together we were going to have 5 teenagers. 4 of them were girls. And so it was a circus, to say the least. There was so much estrogen for my son and Troy to have to deal with once a month. They both wanted to run for the hills. But then within 10 months that we got married, we both quit our jobs with $30,000 in our bank account to become self-employed. And we had so many naysayers, so many people just saying, what are you doing? You're neglectful. You're not doing what's right as parents. You know, you're leaving these jobs, these safe zones with your benefits and all of that. And we said, you know what? We had locked arm in arm and we had committed to doing it. We had both wanted to live the American dream for a long time. And so we didn't do real estate at first. We did financial services. And in that, Troy's childhood friend told him that he was thriving with this company. And we found out quickly after we quit our jobs and had these 7 mouths to feed that he was going bankrupt. He was not thriving. He was not doing well. This was not a success story for him. And so we felt really betrayed and we were having issues within this company too. So we didn't tell anyone in our life. We didn't tell our kids, our parents, our friends, no one. And we went out and started doing other things to make money in the interim to try to figure out what we were going to do, but we were not going back and getting a job. And so for another year and a half before we did real estate, and he finally came to me and he said, do you want to get our real estate license? And you can imagine, I like felt like the angel singing. And so I thought, this is what I'm supposed to do. So I told him, I said, this is not an option to fail. Like I've waited over 2 decades to do something that I felt like I was called to do. And I want to stand out. I want to use those negative seeds that people planted in me so many years ago. And I want to use those to pave our own lane, truly do things differently, really differentiate ourselves with our marketing, the way we present ourselves, our service, all of it. And I want to break through barriers. And I said, are you up for this? Because after losing my mom at 50, I was 39 before I was going to step into my true career that I felt like. And I felt like I had a lot of time to make up for. And I had a paradigm shift when my mom died that if I died in 11 years, like my mom, what do I want to do? What do I want to check off my bucket list? My mom didn't get to check so many things off. I really, truly started living like I was dying and have continued to do that. But it did put immense pressure on us. We didn't have a paycheck for 7 months, which is a really long time when you're living out of savings. That was going so quickly with three kids in braces and new drivers and all the bills and incidentals of just life in general. It was really difficult. And I remember calling my dad one day and I said, Dad, you've been the one person that's never had a job. You've never worked for the man. And this is where I'm at. We're doing everything, all the actionable steps. We're door knocking. We're doing open houses. We're calling everybody and their brother's brother and telling them what we do and asking them to entrust us with their biggest investments. We're doing every educational class and nothing is happening. Like, why would God have me wait 2 years or two decades rather to do nothing for it to be a complete flop? And he said, because the harvest hasn't come. He's a farmer. And he said, what have you watched me do your entire life? And I said, you watch the weather a lot because farmers live and die by the weather. I said, but I've watched you plant and nurture and plow and disc before the harvest. And it's a long season before the harvest. But when it comes, it's fruitful when you do all the right things. And he said, it's going to come. And so that last 5 months of the year, we sold 40 homes, which I think the average stat for how many homes the average realtor sells nationwide is like 4 to 8 homes. So selling 40 in 5 months was, it was no question this is where I'm supposed to be, but it was a lot of business at one time to try to navigate how to do the business and then get that much of it at one time. We were exponentially blessed. And from there, we brought HGTV to Oklahoma and we've done 4 exclusive episodes with them. And that had 90 million households that watched that show. It was massive exposure. And from then, I had done TV 20 years ago. I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show. And I saw the fruit of literally being vulnerable and showing your story and how that can impact people. And so I had gone on the show and it was for hormonal issues after I had my second child. And I had sent her a letter and just emotionally dumped and never expected to hear a thing back. And I did hear a thing back within an hour. The executive producer called me and she said, Denise, we want to fly out. We want to film you guys for 8 hours and we want to fly you back to Chicago to Harpo Studios to do the show. So when you go back to the Oprah show, you're typically sitting in the front audience and Oprah will direct a question at you and the cameras will pan to you, melt in the audience. So you don't feel so nervous. About 10 minutes before we were going to start filming, she said, I want Denise up here with me the entire show. And I'm like, what? And so I stood up and I'm like trying to put my shoulders back and not have a deer in the headlights look. And I sit down next to her and she's doing sign language under her chair, getting someone to change her shoes that weren't comfortable. She's standing up and unbuttoning her pants saying, I had too many carbs for lunch, very down to earth. And she whispers in my ear and she says, look, I know you weren't expecting to be here. And that's the point, sitting up there with her. She said, you have a gift of oration. You're not afraid to be transparent and vulnerable. And if you will lock eyes with me and pretend you're in my living room having a girl chat, you will impact millions of women that are going through this same thing. Can you do that? And I said, very enthusiastically, I said, yes, I can do that. And that was one of the highest rated shows in 99. And I went back 6 months later for a follow-up show. But that was my first public speaking gig to speak of in my life. And it was a big one. So I learned the power of storytelling and how you can connect with people, not by saying, oh, I'm amazing. I've done this. I'm here. I'm an overnight success, but showing them your mess, your dirt, your grit, your climb, and taking them on that journey with you so that you can have the relatability to be a beacon of hope and a lighthouse to others. And God, for me, has used those mistakes and trials and denials and all those things I thought would hinder me from being impactful. He's used those in such a profound way that it's created a lot of opportunities. And we've been able to use the TV and storytelling. We went on Steve Harvey as well for Dangers of Teen Technology, and we were featured on another show as blended family experts. And so we weren't just getting media attention in these major network shows for real estate. It was for things that I was passionate and convicted about, if that makes sense. The media always linked back to Denise and Troy Schroeder, Oklahoma City Realtors, are Steve Harvey's blended family experts, if that makes sense. I did the Food Network recently, a couple years ago, and every time I was on the screen on my outtakes, it said Denise Schroeder, Realtor. So it was this magical thing that I'm on these shows that have nothing to do with real estate, but it's always bringing it back to real estate in the media. And I think we can all use our stories, whether you teach or speak, absolutely, whatever. We all have a story.
That is pretty incredible, that story just in itself. But isn't that interesting that was obviously your passion, but now you can look back, people stopped you pursuing that because they put it down.
Yes.
However, it was obviously at the right time. And this is so funny, absolutely, that everybody thinks that success is just going to come overnight, but you're so right. So many people give up too soon because that sowing phase, it can last a very long time. But what I got from that story is just keep going. And so where did you think this, you obviously had a massive real belief in yourself at that time. Would you put that down to what you learned about yourself going through the therapy?
Yeah, I knew that God had something greater, a greater purpose in my life. And at the time, I was just trying to be able to put my feet on the floor. Moving through the depression wasn't easy. I remember feeling like all these people were plucked from my life when really He transplanted people in my life for the season I needed them. And I can remember a time where I felt like I was being buried, like I could feel the dirt being thrown on my face, like I'm being buried alive. And then years later, I remember feeling distinctly how dark of a place I was in. And I thought to myself, I wasn't being buried. I was actually being planted. My soil was being completely disrupted. And that's how I felt. I felt like I was just reborn. And that wouldn't have happened without therapy and without self-healing. Like, it was a commitment that I wanted to get myself healthy and heal in the proper way because I wanted to be the best that I could for my kids. They'd already gone through so much.
But you still chose so many women out there. Again, they just keep going, but they don't go through the healing process. What do you think drove you to actually, I really need to deal with this? Because many don't, do they? They don't ask for help. Why do you think feel like you I came had a choice. To that point?
I really didn't feel like I had a choice because my whole life, I've been a very happy, gregarious, positive person. And everyone around me is saying, who are you? What have you become? This is not the part. It's like there was an imposter in my body. And so I knew that I had to take that step forward and get out of my comfort zone. And I wanted better for myself and for my kids. And for me, I knew that I had to not wait for someone to send me a life-saving raft. I had to rescue myself and decide I'm non-negotiable. I'm not seeking permission to put me first and to heal myself. And to this day, I'm non-negotiable and I don't ask permission to do things because when I have done that in the past, I've had people that didn't have a dream of their own try to steal mine. And so I guard that very carefully now. And I'm also very selective who's in my tribe.
That is just such a massive lesson, I think, to people out there, because many have got, this is life, isn't it? There's lots of trials and tribulations, and there may be many women out there who do find themselves in a toxic relationship and they feel that it's not so easy to get out of it, and especially when there's children. Of course, it's not easy, is it? But somehow you've found the strength to do it and then took it a stage further and realized that, yeah, okay, I need to deal with this now, because it's amazing how they can drain your energy,
And it wasn't easy. I didn't want to go to therapy every time. I was having to do historical trauma work, and it was hard. It was beyond my divorce and the loss of my mother. So I was doing a lot of work, but thank God I did it, because I wouldn't have been the person that I am today. I feel like it was like the building of a warrior. I had felt so broken and spilled out. And then by the end of it, I felt like I had this warrior spirit, and no one will ever break it again. I can promise you that.
I love that. And I feel that. I can see it. I can feel it. So for you now, and how amazing that you're both working together. This is beautiful, isn't it? Because whenever I see couples that do that, one and one does not equal two. One and one can equal five. Because
it's a dance. You have to be really careful to not get your job descriptions where they commingle and there's clear expectations. But we've sold almost 700 homes in 10 years with just the two of us. And so we live and breathe real estate, but we love it. We're empty nesters. And I got my family law mediator certification, not because I want to mediate divorces, but I did that because I got my certified divorce real estate expert certification here in Oklahoma. God gave me so many people that were divorcing and selling real estate, I couldn't even tell you. It was like I was a magnet to these dirty, messy, nasty divorces of these people that were in dire straits. And so I wanted to gain high conflict skill, resolution skills, where I could help people navigate this in a neutral manner and help people get out of this situation as unscathed as possible. Because if you've ever known or you've been divorced, you can feel like going through surgery without anesthesia. It's very painful. And when you're trying to sell your house, it's like I'm putting a sign in the yard to sell your life, to sell your dream. It's very hard. And so that is a way that I'm used that in a place that I've developed deep empathy. I have so much empathy for people that go through divorce, because that was one of the hardest, darkest waters I've ever went through in my life. And now I can help people say, look, I'm on the other side of the tunnel. You can't see me yet, but listen to my voice and just take the next right step. And so that's what we do for people that are walking through divorce. We just try to minister to them.
So you're not just selling houses, are you? This is much more.
I'm an unqualified therapist as well.
But you're coaching them through. It sounds like you're doing a whole package for them, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you say, that could be their life. Yeah, their life's dream, that house, and now they've got to get rid of it because they're splitting up. Your journey from broken, as you said, broken to barrier breaker, sounds like you smashed through that barrier. You didn't just open it and go through the barrier. You smashed your way through it. And that came from something that is pretty significant. Isn't it bizarre, really, that it's from such turmoil? But do you feel if you hadn't have gone through that, would that have pushed you enough to then go and do this?
Probably not. I think the most amazing things that have ever happened to me have happened on the other side of sheer terror. I think that happens for a lot of us. We're in this little circle, our circle of comfort. And I remember a coach telling me, you always have these bright ideas and you want to jump to the next thing. But right when you get close to getting out of the zone where you're going to be vulnerable to failure, and this was early on, I see you backstep. And I had to learn that if I'm not going over my comfort zone, like there's a border patrol, as I call it, and alarm bells go off when we're getting like close to this getting out of our zone. And now I crave hearing my border patrol because it means that I'm evolving, I'm moving forward. If I don't ever hear the border patrol, it means I'm not doing anything. And it's just been a real mindset shift for me to be able to push myself. And I also think having a coach and mentors in your life is so important. We started seeking mentors that were not just living their life beautifully professionally, but also personally. Like they had a beautiful home life as well. They had successful relationships with their partners. They would hold our feet to the fire. Like we gave people full permission to be 100% honest. And you want people to be there to encourage you and hold their pom-poms out of their back pocket for small victories too. But you also want people to say, step back and check yourself. You have to have accountability. And so we have been so open to criticism, even with something we start out, and people can use this in any industry. So the first thing that happens, if you contact me and you want me to sell your house, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you, I send you a video called The Promise when we introduce ourselves. And I tell you, we want to create an experience with you selling your home that you could not have even imagined being any better. And so if we are not exceeding any and all expectations, we want to know, because we want to be able to reverse engineer our process to see how our blind spots or anything we missed. But we need that from you so that we can get better. And that's with our whole team. And so people are sometimes shocked that we're like, A, putting the expectations ourselves up here. We're saying we want you to expect far above anything you could imagine. And people have been amazing with reviews, feedback, all of it. And so we want everyone to know that we set the bar higher than they could ever imagine, because we want to serve like we're chosen. And in my area, there's 10,000 realtors. So when someone calls my phone, I'm chosen. Trust me, I am chosen. And I want to serve in a way that they feel like they're on the red carpet. They're getting the red carpet treatment. That's our motto in our business. So every time we have an event, we do red carpet and we have photographers come take pictures of our clients and make them feel special, because we want to make people feel that we're so grateful for them trusting us, and they are always a part of our tribe. And so making people feel like any and every detail is important to us too, just as important to us. I think people can apply that to any business.
Absolutely. It's all in the serving. Yes. And just by even asking them, again, not many people ask for feedback I love the word Kaizen. It's just continually. It's a Japanese word for just continually improving. Yeah. Whereas again, when you talk about the comfort zone there, again, some people, maybe it happens more so when it's not their own business. Maybe, I don't know. It's not my area, but people can get complacent, right? When it's your own business, so, you know, this is your baby. This is your,
absolutely,
your thing to grow. You're going above and beyond. So what it sounds like from what you're sharing there is you really are going the extra mile. And I think that is going to be what's going to be noticed. What was the difference between that and that is all in what you're offering them, and you are going above and beyond.
So, don't you feel like in business that people, if they looked and reverse engineered, they looked at what extra menu of services they could offer that nobody in their competition, like we do, say, fresh flowers for a new listing. People love fresh flowers on their island. Or my husband can fix anything. He's amazing like that. He's Mr. Fix-It. So if we have clients that don't have the ability, like we have a lot of single women, widows, they don't have the ability to put a bracket in their fence to reinforce something. We offer things in a way that we serve people. We're not expecting any extra charge or anything like that. We just do that as a way to serve. There was a guy that has a heat and air company, and he actually, like, if you're his heat and air client, he'll say, what's your favorite item under $20? And you might say a 4-pack of Taco Bell tacos, or you might say a certain flavored drink at the Quick Trip, or whatever it is. Every time he makes a call to your house, that item is brought with him. So it's just something that they do. And I thought, how cool is that? Or a tire place that anytime you have a flat tire, 24 hours a day, 365, they will come tow you to their place. You don't have to call AAA. You don't have, all you do is you call this tire place that's local here and they will come tow you for no charge. Don't you think you're going to be a customer for life?
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
If we were all doing things like this, it just raising the bar.
And, but again, people just, they get complacent or they just get a comfort zone. They just, they're not stepping out of their comfort zone. But again, if you don't ask what people want, how are you ever going to know? You're just going to keep doing the same thing that you've always done.
Exactly.
But it's through, so really by being vulnerable, that's what I'm hearing from you about that story, is by being vulnerable and actually putting it out there for people to give you snippets of, okay, that would be good. And then you can add that in and add that in and add that in. So then your whole service is completely different to the competition.
Absolutely. And then just doing things differently. If you got a house, I don't know in your area, if the market's been crazy, but there's a lot of multiple offers. So if there's 20 offers on a house and my buyer's the one that we won the multiple offer bid, we'll show up at their door like a publisher's clearinghouse type winner. I don't know if you know what that is, but here it's, if you win, it's publisher's clearinghouse is a sweepstakes and people, they come to your door to give you these big checks, $100,000.
Oh, okay, we do.
Yeah. So we'll go to their door with this big poster board, like you got the house, and we come, we've got confetti and we've got crazy hats on and we ring their doorbell. And when they open the door, we're like, you got the house, doing things that create memories and make them feel really special. Yeah.
And it's all about how they feel. So again, because everything, it's all going to be, they're never going to ever forget you, are they?
I hope not. That's the goal.
Love that. So with you, what made you, you're an author, right? So again, she's not just a realtor. These are realtors with a difference. There's not just that aspect of it. You're helping people going through their divorce. So you're a therapist on top of that, but you're an author too. So what drove you to write your, is this your first book or is just this the latest book?
This is my first book, and kind of during COVID, I'd been feeling like a stirring. Some people, they want to hold their business secrets close to their vest. They don't want to ever share anything with anyone because someone might duplicate it or copy it. For me, I felt convicted to write this book, and I wanted to share unique marketing approaches that we've been able to use to exponentially grow that I knew would be applicable in any business. And we've done a lot of speaking, teaching, podcast guesting. I wrote the book. We've done massive major network TV shows and series. And that has been a unique branch of our business that I feel like people, they don't utilize because they think not everybody wants to be on TV or is good at that. But we all have a story. And your local newspapers are always looking for content. They're looking for people to come teach at their high schools and their college universities and pour into people. There's ways that you can get out there and share your story and impact your communities. And that creates reciprocation too. So when you're doing things from a servant's heart, a lot of blessings come from that, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But like you say, there's, and I do think that comes from the scarcity mindset.
Oh, absolutely.
They want to keep it close. And which is why I suppose this whole thing came about. I wanted to create a directory of coaches because I thought, for one, anyway, I don't believe in competition because you will resonate with who you resonate with. And look, I've got mad pink hair. I'm not necessarily going to attract certain corporate types, say, but hey, there might be somebody else there. Like, none of us are in competition, and every quote unquote coach, like, what is it you're doing? Who are you serving? What problem are you solving? How are you helping? Everybody's doing different things. And that was where this whole thing came from, rather than people being in competition. Why don't people collaborate more? Because it's there's a fear of, or they might take what's mine, or
it's so nobody's true.
Nobody can take what's yours. That was yours and that was there, and There's enough for everyone. There's enough for everyone.
My mom taught me there's enough sunshine for all of us. So I've always had that mindset, being happy for other people when they win. Pay attention. Who claps when you win? It's very telling. It's very telling. And sometimes not in a good way, but you get clarity.
Yeah. And sometimes it is funny that sometimes it's not from your closest for some, but yes, it's funny how that goes. But how can, I just don't get it anyway. Why can't people be pleased when they see, I don't understand why they'd feel jealous anyway. Why wouldn't you feel good for somebody that's doing well and applaud them? But that's the funny world that we live in. So you're basically helping people with marketing ideas, things that you've learned along your way. Is it sharing your story in the book as well?
Yes, it's a lot of stories and it's just a mixture. It's like taking a creativity juice shot. I want people to be inspired by the stories that I'm sharing about things I've gone through, but also feel invigorated and empowered and inspired and motivated into action, either take the leap of faith. It's never too late. I didn't step into this till I was 39 years old. It's never too late. So I think sometimes you don't always have people around you in your tribe, like I didn't 20 years ago, that would encourage me that you can do this. I had nobody in my life at that time that was speaking life into me like that of abundance. And a lot of people say, I don't have the money for coaching. You can also get on and listen to podcasts like yours and have mentors. So there's things you can do before you maybe had affordability to do that. But there's so many endless resources for us, you know, that there's just no excuse.
There is no excuse, not in this day and age. It is. We've never lived in a better time for the, like you say, the things that are out there that can help with your business, that can help speed things up, do a lot of the heavy work for you. Things are amazing. It's all coming out. It's coming out in leaps and bounds at the moment. What with the ChatGPT? Yes. And again,
yes, I want to learn more about that.
It's just, it's wow. But again, even with that, the fear, the lack mindset is, oh, if they're a copywriter, oh, fear of I'm going to lose my job. No, it's not going to get rid of that. It's only going to enhance things. We've got to get used to this change. Change is inevitable. Adapt. Yes, all these things are coming.
It's a lot of technology.
You've got to go with it, right?
You have to. You got to get in the fast lane.
Absolutely. They are speeding up. Things are changing all the time. My own daughter still gets impatient with me because I'll be too slow on things on the phone and that, because they know it, they've got it, they get it so fast.
Yes.
But you got to run to keep up these days.
Absolutely. I've got to get on the chat GPT thing. I really do have to be caught up on that. I'm set up for a training.
It's also being
forever a student, don't you think? We all have to commit to that.
Absolutely. I'm never going to stop learning. I'm going to be 51 this year.
Oh, we're the same age. Fabulously 50.
There we go. Yes, 50 is the new. We've got to, you've got to keep learning. If you're not growing, you're dying, aren't you? Yeah, nothing stays
the same. Not watering your plants, they die.
Absolutely. So you've got to keep giving it energy. And you wouldn't be where you are today if you hadn't kept going. Do you think that maybe because you guys were together as well, that having that extra support, do you think you would have given up sooner? What's that? The 3 foot from gold. Mm-hmm. So many people give up because they say it's not working. But as you said, there's a time for sowing, there's a time for reaping. But without having that extra support or having somebody by your side, as should we say, that is supporting you emotionally, as well as if you hadn't have had that, look where you were before.
Yeah, and things that just the opportunities that come, it was so much easier to do it with us together because we were a force that couldn't be reckoned with. And fast forward 10 years in the business, we just started hosting a show that's all over the US in major markets, but it's called The American Dream. And it's amazing that I'm a host of this show because we go out in our local communities and we're highlighting business owners, influential people, charities, and I'm getting to highlight people just like myself that had a dream and they've made it come to fruition and giving them a spotlight to tell their story. So it's just been the coolest thing to come full circle. And now it's about everyone else's stories too. It's not always about our story. We're great. We do this. We sell lots of houses. It's earning the right to tell other people's stories.
Love that. That's all I do all day, Denise. Yeah. That's all I do is, they said, this is what I've realized for me. This is what I'm here for, to hold a space for other people to share yes. their stories. It's not that it must be, I'm just genuinely curious. It's great to hear these.
Yeah.
Inspiring. It's for transformation. There's so many people out there that are struggling right now. And as you said, right at the beginning, it's all mindset. It's all mindset.
Yes.
But when you're in something, so that's why, yeah, you've got to get your story out, because then they think that, oh, there's hope for me. You know, so many Absolutely. People that are stuck, maybe being put down, like you said at the beginning, being with your ex in a toxic relationship, being told constantly, and I've been there, having your whole, energy vampires, that's it.
Yeah.
They're energy vampires, are just sucking everything out of you. And then, of course, when you are in a low vibration, it's very difficult to find your way because you're only down here. So that in itself, by hearing your story, hopefully that's a bit of a lift for anybody that is feeling stuck, that there is hope.
Yeah. And I think behind every strong person is a story that gave them no choice. You know, that's what I live by. I wanted to be the type of women that showed other people that realized they can do it too. Yeah. I can do it. You can do it.
And that's the thing, like you just said there, it's sometimes if we're too comfortable, then we can get complacent. People don't have the same drive. It's quite often when people are backed, they've got their back up against the wall, and then they make a decision that they're not having it anymore, and they come out, which is just, isn't that a weird sort of mix? Do you not think that sometimes it's like we have to go through those lows to appreciate the highs?
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, in sharing my story, I've heard people are like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through this? And then you fast forward to when you're on the other side of the tunnel and you're looking back and you're like, okay, number one, I see the lesson. But number two, now I look at it as a gift. Not when you're going through it, but on the other side, I have to look back and say, it was one of the greatest gifts given to me because my children have gotten to watch me crawl and scratch and climb my way out of the bottom of the well that I had seemingly no way of escape. And they've gotten to watch me be tenacious and faithful and non-negotiable in my life and really strive to show them if you can dream it, you can do it. And I know Absolutely. They believe that. My son's in law school right now at the top of his class, and I feel like maybe in some small way, him watching me do the things I've done gave him the confidence. I hope that I played Absolutely. A part in that some way.
Absolutely. And just imagine if you had stayed, what a different story that would have been. Even then, as an inspiration look, you don't have to stay stuck. There is another way. And I know it's never easy, but there is a way. Love it. Love it. So is your book has it already been released or do you have a date yet?
It just got released in October. So it's on Amazon, out of the box, Denise Schroeder. It's super easy to find. And there's an ebook and a paperback. And if anyone does read it, I would love feedback. I'm serious when I say I like feedback. So I would love to hear if the book resonated in any way with you. Awesome. Working on another one, so I'd really like feedback.
Okay. And are you going to give any clues there, what that's going to be about, or are you keeping that shtum?
It's still really in its infancy because we're going a couple of different ways. So my publisher's, let's not start. She knows how I am on social media. She's, let's not start plugging that yet till we get this really refined. So it'll be soon.
Awesome. So for you, what is it? Is there anything else that you're looking for or that you're looking to help people with?
I basically just have been focusing on sharing my story. I sell a lot of real estate. And what I found for me is I've moved from a place in my life from proving myself to being more purpose-driven. And so I do a lot of volunteer teaching and speaking and podcast guesting. And that is what fills my cup. Yes, I love what I do. I love serving families and helping them get the most money and get the best deal on real estate, but it's a different kind of fulfillment when you are sharing your story and you are seeing the fruits of seeing somebody like develop their get up muscles, and that maybe you had some kind of a way that you gave them the confidence that there's someone there to help pull them up. And there's also someone there to walk arm in arm with them. And so that's just been so rewarding for me. That's been my focus.
Awesome. Any good things coming up with speaking engagements?
For May, it'll just be the podcast guesting that I have, and I'm booking conferences and summits. So I don't know the exact dates in May yet, but I'm sure there'll be some. I'm doing them every month.
So how do the listeners get in touch with you?
They can find me really easily on Instagram at Denise Sells Oklahoma. It's a really easy way to find me. And you can also go to deniseandtroy.com and you can message me there. I'd love to connect with you and start doing life with you on social media.
Awesome. That's brilliant. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a great conversation. Fantastic. Love the story. Obviously, don't love what you went through. Nobody wants you to, nor wants anybody to go through any kind of trauma throughout your life. However, that being said, then you're the beacon of hope for coming out the other side. So you've proven that, yeah, you can totally break through any barrier, because they're all barriers that we put in our set for ourselves, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And the biggest issue that I think I do feel that many women are just not asking for help. Like you say, when you keep things to yourself that's going on, where do you think all this sort of comes from? Why is it?
There's treasure in trauma, what I found. The way that people respond to me when I share on social media is a lot more than anything else I post. When I have a transparency post on social media of any kind, that's when I get the response resonating with people. It's powerful.
Because people have been, unfortunately, people don't have just the perfect life on the outside. Everybody's has gone through something. Do you know anybody where they've had from childhood all the way up, no problem at all,
blemish-free.
Tragedy. I don't know anybody. And as you said, every single person has a story. But again, like a lot of these things, we only find out after the event quite often about what's happened to somebody because we keep it quiet. And I suppose it is, again, is even with what you're doing, I suppose it's trying to get people to don't wait till that point. You can speak up sooner so that you can change things.
Yes, I agree. I think a soul that carries empathy is a soul that has survived tremendous pain. And from that is where I draw from where I want to help and minister to other people. And I may not have had that if I wouldn't have gone through all of the stuff that I went through.
Yeah.
So it's definitely for a purpose.
Absolutely. You're in a fantastic place right now. So yes, I really wish you continued success. Fantastic to hear these stories. So yeah, thank you for your time today. It's been lovely
thank
having
you, Karen.
You on. And to the rest of you, I will be back on Thursday with a Coffee with Karen. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity.